This is an Enterprise Times podcast. My name is Ian Murphy. I'm here with Andy Berry, CEO of Vertigis. Andy, hello.
Hello.
Do you want to tell us a bit about you and Vertigis?
Start off with Vertigis. We are an enterprise-grade application leveraging GIS to solve day-to-day problems for utilities, telecommunications organizations, specifically broadband fiber deployment, as well as infrastructure broadly. A little bit about myself. Moved to London in 2017 as my second stint, one pre-kids, now post-kids. I've got three kids going through the university system here, as well as the international baccalaureate program.
So now you have time to actually enjoy London.
I very much enjoy London. When I left the first time, we always wanted to come back. Very much called London my home. When I get off at Heathrow, as I often do, it feels like I am home.
I want to talk a bit about GIS systems with you. Because GIS systems are one of those things that people hear about, don't really understand, but they don't know how much it touches their lives. If I had to ask you in just a few words exactly why GIS is important to people, what would you say?
Viewing things on a map makes it easier to solve the problem. If I am a utility, it's one thing to have a wall behind me with string across that wall to show me where my network is. It's much easier as a non-technologist to look at a map and understand my network. As a fiber deployer, to see where my fiber is deployed and where I need to deploy it. It's easier for an end user to visualize things on a map.
I'm one of these people who still have a map book in my car, and I take a map when I go out walking. I do not rely on GPS for things like that. I also know how to use a compass, which apparently is a rare thing these days. If we look at where GIS came from, go back 40 years, oil companies used it, mining companies used it, the telcos and the utilities kind of used it, but they relied much more on statements like, oh yeah, the gas line's 30 yards in from that fence, or it's 10 foot from the edge of the road, which led to an awful lot of things being dug up by mistake as roads changed over time. Their systems were very rudimentary. What brought about the change with technology? Was it our move to mini computers, the amount of computing, or what's been the big driver for them?
I think it's twofold. First off, alone in maps, as when I have things done to my house, they still show up with a paper map. Even with the deployment of GIS, it's still not widely adopted. It's easier for a technician, as they come to your house, to understand where things are precisely. More importantly, as they fix things, they don't repeatedly dig up the same hole over and over. Or they know what's underground, what connections need to be made. It's not just the map and the visualization, it's actually all the business rules and laws and regulations that apply to that to make sure the job is done right the first time.
I laughed when you said that because we just had to have a new water line put in at our house. There are no records of where the existing water line ran. There's no records of how the electricity gets to the house because we're in the country. So it was a journey of discovery for the guys to find out where the electricity was, how they dug around it. We've since updated our architectural plans of the property to mark these on there. We kind of thought that was important. But you talked there about opening holes in roads. If there's one bugbear for any driver, it's the number of roadworks they come across. And in a city like London, it seems like once a hole's open, it never gets closed. What is stopping utilities properly sharing GIS data?
First off, there is no excuse for that to happen. We're relying on technology and skill sets from 40 years ago in these utilities. But that's not universal across all the geographies we cover. It happens in the UK and other spots, but then you go into other countries where they've completely digitized their utility or their fiber deployment. So it can be done. The technology does exist. It's been in the market both at a tool grade and at an enterprise grade. We see automation and investment around the world. Why is the UK behind? It's a great question, probably with many answers. But the fundamental answer is we're not investing in our infrastructure. If investments are made, we see great projects happen. And some do happen in the UK. But you see companies like Thames Water. The problem's easy to solve. You put plans in place over time to automate that infrastructure using GIS-based tools or enterprise-grade applications, and you fix the problem.
I remember the Thatcher government in the mid-1980s saying to councils that you must digitise your utility lines, that rules were going to be brought in that said if a hole is opened in the road by one utility and they close it without letting others come into that hole, it could not be opened for a given period of time. That does not get enforced. We are still struggling to get that data in there. Is part of the problem, do you think, that they don't know how to get the data in there? Or is it purely simply a lack of investment in technology?
It's a lack of enforcement in initiatives and a lack of investment in technology. In other countries, those rules are adhered to. There are strict government fines that get placed on these organizations who violate those rules. In the UK, we seem to have the lack of backbone to enforce the rules that the government puts in place. And it's really that simple. Companies will do the right thing if they know they need to do the right thing. At the moment, the government talks a lot, but they don't actually enforce the rules they talk about.
Easy to do the right thing when it's going to cost you money to not do the right thing.
If you take the view of long-term infrastructure investment and make long-term plans, it's easy to invest on a yearly basis. The challenge the UK faces now is that there is no long-term investment strategy. There's a lot of talk about it, but if you asked any of the utilities, what is your 10-year plan, where are those investments being made, both in automating and updating current infrastructure, automatically planning for the 1.5 million houses we need, those plans don't exist. That's the basis where you can justify long-term spend, properly budget it, and properly make sure those resources are spent to fix the problem.
Should that be driven by government? We have housing projects in the UK that have been stalled because there's not enough sewage outfall for the houses being built. We have houses continually built on what are obvious floodplains. When we changed our house 4 years ago, first thing we did, let's find out what the flooding situation is like in the area. Are we going to see a problem? We went through all of this. We looked at what the broadband was going to be like from different suppliers. We looked at electricity, at water, all of these things. That information is available, but it's not easy to find. So should governments do more? Should they drive that? And then how do you have that handover in a world like the UK where the utilities are privately owned? They're not a government entity.
We run into that in many countries that have solved it. If you were to build something in Germany, the whole infrastructure is digitized. We support most of it. As an architect or as a builder or someone coming into the property, where the flood zones are, what you're allowed to build, what you're not allowed to build, those rules have been defined with support from government, but then implemented by government into the utilities. That's what we find is lacking at the moment in the UK. There's a lot of talk, but there's no enforcement and there's really no long-term plan. There's no reason why the UK couldn't be digitized. Yes, it will take time. Yes, it requires hard work. But this country has overcome more than that over time. It's a basic fundamental problem to solve, and it's solvable. For some reason, either the government or the utilities themselves, who are now primarily owned by European organizations, take the profit that comes out of the UK and invest it in their home country instead of investing it right here where they make their money.
How much does that then impact people's lives? There are other things that we're seeing GIS used for. I see it being used for town planning, traffic management. But more importantly, I see retail organisations, when they're looking at building new shops, looking at what the footfall is in the area. They go out and they look at data from mobile phone companies. They go to organisations like Precisely, who have all these massive data sets, which also tie up with GIS data. And they pull that data together to understand what the catchment areas are. If we don't have that basic level at a utility level, how do we build on that to utilise that for other businesses and enable other things?
Many of the things you've talked through exist. They exist on paper. They exist in pockets of digitization. We work with retailers around the world doing just that. So it's possible. We work with some retailers here in the UK that take advantage of that opportunity. While the data exists, there hasn't been a drive on what is the benefit of digitizing infrastructure. Once you digitize infrastructure, you can properly plan how to make investments in that infrastructure over time to make it easier for all of us, whether we're driving on the roads, whether we're having housework done, to quickly access that data and simplify the process to either build the property or fix the road. The fundamental data exists. Precisely has it. They're a great company. They store all this. That data exists. There just hasn't been a common push either from the government or the utilities themselves to utilize that because they don't necessarily benefit from the productivity that it provides.
That's a really strange statement, isn't it? They don't benefit from the productivity it provides. But you think government would. Because if that productivity means you can get houses in place faster, you increase your revenue for the local authority. You get people out of rented accommodation. You give them an opportunity to buy somewhere. You have better control of traffic management. You can work out where you want to have gas-based vehicles, where you want to have electric-based vehicles. In the UK, as we move towards net zero, our challenge is going to be our electricity infrastructure, which we know has had zero investment over the last 30, 40 years. So there is a net benefit to the government on all of this. How do we make it more obvious to people where the benefits are?
Having traveled around the world, seeing different cultures in the acceptance of either good governance or bad governance, the UK citizens need to step up and demand better governance from their government, from the utilities themselves. Where we see that happen, you don't have sewage dumped into your clean water. Some countries and citizens would revolt if that happens, and yet we accept it. Some of it is not government-driven until the citizens drive the government to make those meaningful changes. The UK accepts poor service. It's a cultural thing. They just accept it, where other countries don't and demand better of their government and their local utilities. That can be changed. We can elect governments. We can demand more of our elected officials to deliver what is benefit to the citizens.
But many people would then argue that the main benefit, okay, government gets a better revenue, it cuts some of its costs, but the main benefit goes back to private organisations, and therefore they should be doing the bulk of the investment. How do we drive private organisations to do that? Because the people who hold the control are not individuals. They are the large pension funds. These are the big investors who own those big stakes in these companies. How do we get them to apply pressure to do GIS better?
Typically, businesses will do whatever is in their interest to make more profit. Fundamentally, they will do that. The challenge is those profits aren't owned by UK entities. We see the profits flow out of UK utilities into other countries where they are making the investments and they are applying that investment, happens to be out of the UK, back into their home country. So that's where government and the citizens should demand better.
Well, I was watching a select committee conversation the other day, and they were talking to one of the regulators as to how they should better deal with the level of pay to executives, bonuses, how they should deal with the payment of benefits out to investors. And there didn't seem to be any real thought as to how we contain that. Once they're a listed company, the assumption is that we can't interfere because it has an impact on the market. Do you think markets would react badly if that was handled? Or do you think it's a sort of thing that markets would look at as a long-term net gain?
The markets would look at it as a long-term net gain because they can see over time that incremental investment that we demand out of these local utilities will go to the benefit of the local areas. That benefits the company. It benefits the citizens. The solution can be simple. Why we've come up with such a challenge to make those realities is a mystery, because we see it in other countries. It can be done. It can be done simply, where a utility driving more profit is benefit to the utility. It's benefit to the citizens because we can lower rates. At some point, there's been a disconnect in the UK between companies doing the right thing and making investments and government's oversight of that to make sure that they fulfill those promises they're making.
I remember about 10 years ago at CeBIT in Hanover, one of the last CeBITs, talking to a company that was doing farming implements. They were very heavy on the idea of where GIS changes farming. The UK is not an easy comparison to Germany or to America because our farms are typically much smaller, fields are smaller. But there are issues as to what crops you can plant, how you can manage it. And we've seen, again, regulators in Europe and the UK using satellite imagery to see how fields are being utilised. But that also requires a degree of innovation. What innovation do you see from third-party organisations, not utilities, but third-party organisations around GIS?
We see innovation from utilising satellite imagery. Where are my fields? What is the state of those fields? What chemicals do I need to apply to them, hopefully organic chemicals, to make crop yields higher? That's being deployed everywhere. So those investments are being made. We see it in infrastructure improvement, some of which we see in the UK, where we do have a great motorway system. The roads, for the most part, are in okay condition. The maintenance is where we see the big lag. When we see big, large infrastructure projects deployed, they typically are deployed well. Delayed, unfortunately, but deployed well. It's the maintenance of those long term. That's what the UK is paying the price for now, in that their infrastructure is aging. They haven't historically made those investments, so now they're in the dilemma of what do I fix versus what do I build to support the population increase.
As somebody who lives in the country, I have to admit there was that urbanite moment, as you were saying, the roads are in okay condition. Come and live out where some of us live.
I said okay, not great.
Let's go back to that innovation. What innovations do you see happening going forwards? Because the farming innovations are 10, 15, 20 years old. Yes, we're seeing new startups coming along looking at different things, but they're not on the edge of innovation with GIS. So what's GIS's innovation offer?
GIS innovation has lagged in the last 20 years. Mapping technology from Esri themselves have been in the market for a long time. So the technology has existed, but it existed as a tool set that then required individuals to build solutions on top. What we haven't seen is enterprise-grade applications where 90% of that functionality exists. You deploy it, and then you tweak around the edges to get yourself to 100%. GIS has historically been a tool set within an IT department that is underinvested. As GIS becomes more critical and it makes work easier out in the field, integrating geography up into the enterprise application advances our cause.
Who do you see innovating? What type of applications?
We see applications around rapid network deployment of fiber. If you think of the fiber challenge, be it on an electrical line or on a tunnel that the fiber companies deploy, they do an amazing job. While they're lagging slightly behind, they're deploying fiber to every home around the UK. Huge innovation, and what's the revenue capture for them to deploy it? They don't just randomly deploy fiber. They're employing some of those technologies of where are the revenue pockets I can capture? How do I quickly deploy? What you see on the streets of the UK right now, at least in my neighborhood, is all the trucks are fiber deployment. But nobody's doing the same thing for our water systems or for our electrical lines. There are investments in innovation happening in some industries. It's lacking in others.
It's interesting, isn't it? Because if I look at Denmark, I remember writing about this, must be 15, 20 years ago. The Danish government made the decision that if you laid anything into a house, be it water or electricity, you pulled fiber. If you look at large Swedish cities, they again, because they operate as city-states, they had specific programs that utilities had to pull. And then on top of that, they built a whole set of controls to enable people to switch. You had to be able to change a provider and be reconnected immediately. You didn't have the long delays you have elsewhere. How do we, in countries like the UK and others that aren't as advanced in terms of that level of cohesion, how do we persuade them to do that? And how easily will that improve their GIS?
Those countries you talked about are using technology that's available today. The innovation is available. It simply took the government to mandate it. So we saw this when I lived in the U.S. in Atlanta. I had the same thing. I had three or four strands of fiber outside my house through different providers because the government said, you shall do this. And it was implemented and enforced to the benefit of those organizations deploying it. It gave them better revenue opportunities. That's where I think the failure of government in the UK is showing its face. Because Denmark didn't use the latest technology. They used the technology that was available. It's still readily available and deployable, better now in the cloud, better now on mobile-based applications. So the technology and innovation is available. It's now time for UK organizations to take advantage of that and deploy it as an enterprise-grade application at mass. And government has a role to play. Government can set those standards. Denmark enforced it at the government level. Germany enforces it at the government level. The UK needs to enforce it at the government level with the support of the citizens, because it's to our benefit. We will love them to enforce this because it provides us fiber to the home, better water to the home, better sewage to the home. These are all benefits to citizens. It's strange that the government simply doesn't enforce it.
How do we use digital twinning with GIS? Because if I look at many other areas, we're building digital versions of what is in the ground. GIS, by its very nature, even going back to the 80s systems that I first started to use, screams, I'm a digital twin. Yet, we don't see people use it for modelling. We don't say, oh look, here's my map of what's in the ground, let me model this, that or the other. I don't see a lot of that going on. Do you see much of that?
We don't see it in the UK. We hear talk of it, but obviously we're a global company. We work in many countries where everything does have a digital twin, and there are sensors in the ground, and you can't understand where you have issues in flooding on interstates and what needs to change based on the sensors. We have, in the Nordics, sensors on our bins for recycling. They charge you based on consumption and ensure that at point of pickup that you've in fact followed the rules. Digital twins, sensors, RFID tags, all those are being deployed around the world. And the question is, who benefits from that and who's enforcing it? In the UK, it's our local council. The local council, you would think, would be incented to digitize their environment as it benefits the citizens. We keep on electing people who don't do that. You can blame the government or you can blame the individuals, myself included, for electing the same governments who simply don't deploy innovation for the benefit of ourselves.
With everything we've talked about around GIS, what are Vertigis doing in terms of changing the game?
We're taking years of experience that we've acquired and that we've built, both intellectual property from our people and as they implemented that intellectual property into solutions, making it easier for organizations to adopt. By deploying this into the cloud, where it was traditionally a silo within an organization, deploy it to the cloud, you democratize that solution across thousands of end users rather than just a few. That will show itself directly into the impact these solutions can make on the end consumer.
We're running short on time, so one last question. What is the future for GIS? What is it going to enable and deliver and change for everybody?
It will deliver the ability to do day-to-day tasks quicker, more efficiently, for the benefit of both organizations and citizens. It's taking the simple map, understanding the assets on that map, be they linear or actual assets themselves, and understanding how do those work together in the benefit of the community. Over time, we're seeing that in pockets. It's really understanding what's the long-term benefit against the long-term plan. The technology is available today to deploy, but you don't want to deploy silos of technology. So how do you make it easier to consume that? Web-based, mobile-based technologies are now being deployed with the use of AI to automate tasks that you do day in and day out. If I want to build a new neighborhood to support the 1.5 million of new homes, that shouldn't take 5 years. That should take 5 minutes. We need to demand that level of automation from the organizations that are responsible, be that government or be that local builders.
Andy, thank you for talking with me.
Great, thank you very much.